This is Elected, a podcast for women and our active accomplices in and around politics. I'm your host, Sarah Elder Chaminara. And today my guest is actually my first repeat guest. It's Rebecca Schultz, former minister of the UCP, MLA, and UCP leadership contestant. So before we get started, in the spirit of reconciliation, it's important to me to share my personal commitment to the learning, the history of colonialism and the ongoing systemic violence and oppression against Indigenous peoples. The land where I live, work, and record from is the traditional territories of the Blackfoot Confederacy, the Siksika, Kainai, Piikani, Tsuut'ina, Stoney Nakoda Nations, Métis Nation Region 3, and all people who make their homes in the Treaty 7 region of Southern Alberta. So this is going to be a special week of Elected podcasts. I am hoping, so this is being recorded in June, but it'll be coming out the first week when you listen to this will be the first week of July. And my hope is that I'm going to be speaking with every one of the women running for the leadership of the UCP, and not just the leadership of the UCP, but also to take on the role of the next premier of Alberta. So I have a standard list of questions. I have six questions and I'm going to be asking all of them to keep it, you know, I think fair, and, you know, and then you can also compare answers. And Rebecca Schultz is the first person to take part. So welcome, Rebecca.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be back.
Thanks. It's nice to, yeah, you're the first repeat.
That's exciting.
Yes. So let's get started. The first question I have is, tell me why you're running.
No, I really decided to put my name forward because I care so much about the future of our party and our province. I do believe that it's important to stay on our path of growing the economy, creating jobs, but and standing up for Alberta. And, you know, maybe we can talk a little bit about the childcare agreement that we signed with the federal government again as well.
Yeah.
We need to stay on that path, but we also need to show people that we are choosing a leader, not just for the next year, through the next election, for the next 2 years, but for the next generation of our party, showing that we can have conservative values, but also use common sense when making decisions and show compassion for those who need it most. You know, when I think about why the economy, it's not because I love stats or labor market numbers or GDP. It's because I care about people, because I know that growing the economy allows us to have the tax base when people are working and things are looking great, so that we can continue to invest in things like healthcare and education. You know, those are things that everyday Albertans rely on. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why I'm putting my name forward, but I believe we can have both.
Okay. I think it was, I had heard, maybe it was Trevor Toome, the economist, say that, and this is not on my list of six questions, that it's something like Alberta's, going into Alberta's coffer on a daily basis with the price of oil, and this was like a week or so ago, was a roughly around $1 billion. So that's just on a daily basis, $1 billion a day going into. So the person who takes on this role is going to have, you know, a lot of money to potentially spend. Would your spending change at all from what we've seen historically under the leadership of Jason Kenney, or what would that look like going forward?
So I am a fiscal conservative. I believe that Albertans want me to be responsible with their hard-earned tax dollars. I think that there has to be transparency and accountability for the dollars that we spend. That said, I think anybody, well, certainly me running in this leadership race, wants to show that we can not only put dollars away in the Heritage Savings Trust Fund, right? Make sure that we are planning for our future. That's important to me because, I mean, I have young kids. When they are sitting at the decision-making table, I want them to be able to meet the demands of their generation, not be paying off the debt from ours. So I think a credible plan to pay off debt and invest in our future, that is important. You know, I do also think, though, that there are some things that we need to invest in. Healthcare is one that a lot of people go to, but we also spend more right now than any other province per capita, and we're not seeing better outcomes. So there is a lot of work to do on healthcare that doesn't always mean more money. However, I will have a platform coming out soon, and you will see some plans essentially to address things like education and mental health.
Okay. Okay. This is also not on my list of questions, but you brought up education. So what would you do with the UCP's curriculum, the new curriculum?
Yeah. First, I want to start by saying in 2019, when I was door knocking, one of the top things I heard about education was the last government's curriculum being an issue. And so changes were needed to the curriculum based on the feedback we were getting from Albertans. That said, what I hear now is, you know what, there is a lot of positive feedback on language arts, financial literacy, math. That's great. However, there are also areas where not only teachers, parents, and Albertans alike feel like we need to do better. And I will commit to doing better.
Okay. I'm gonna totally get off my list of questions because I wanted to. I'd love to, you know, what does doing better mean? But I'll keep, hopefully we can have more conversations about as things evolve. Mm-hmm. Okay. So my second question, it's a crowded field so far. So what differentiates you from the others in the race?
You know, it comes back to, we don't need a leader for the next year or the next election. We need a leader for the next generation of our conservative movement. I care as much about our party and growing our conservative movement as I do providing good, solid, common sense conservative government for Albertans. I think I bring a fresh perspective. I have a different approach. I think very well that my approach is always to just be genuine, be authentic, get things done. Don't commit to anything that I can't deliver on. And I know that those who I worked with in children's services in my previous role, or those of my constituents, they know that I have a unique and fresh approach. I think people want to hear, they want to hear somebody who's going to talk to them like they understand the struggles and the position that they're in. That's me, right? A working parent living in Calgary. I grew up in rural Alberta, or in rural Saskatchewan, sorry. So I understand, you know, some of the challenges that rural Albertans are facing. I feel like I am relatable, but I think it is really a change in tone and an excellent communicator who can take us into the next election. I think that I have that fresh perspective, and I think that that's something that Albertans really want to see right now.
It hasn't been that long since you launched your campaign, but what are some of the things that you've been hearing specifically? We talked about curriculum, but what are other issues that that you're hearing that that Albertans and members of the UCP, you know, are talking about?
Yeah, and this actually ties into your question when you said, how am I going to do better on something like curriculum, right? I think a lot of times what I hear is it's not necessarily the decisions that have been made that people are frustrated with. It's how decisions are made and how they have been communicated. People want to see a change in tone. They want to see the hope and optimism that they are seeing in their day-to-day lives right now in terms of where the job numbers are at, their kids are in activities, people are looking forward to summer, unemployment is low. Things are great right now in Alberta. And I think people just want to see that tone elevated, but they want to trust in the process. They want to know that their voice is heard. They want to know, that government is listening. And I always say they want to see humility. They don't want to hear about it, which means me addressing those issues that people are bringing up. When it comes to specific issues, I hear a lot about affordability, healthcare, education. Of course, the economy is always top of mind for people. I think people in Alberta really understand that a strong economy is really what drives, you know, the rest of this province. Diversification, people are very positive about the diversification that we've seen in our province over the last couple of years. They want to see that continuing. And so I'm excited. I mean, for me, I chose Alberta because of that promise that if you can work hard, you can be who and whatever you want to be. And Sarah, I mean, you're an entrepreneur, you're a business owner. I think that's really the promise of Alberta. And that is what we have to offer in terms of a conservative economic platform. So we got to continue to drive forward on that front.
Mm. And I mean, you mentioned all Albertans, and I think that's something, I mean, because again, you are running for the leadership of the UCP, but you will be the leader of the, whoever wins will become the premier. And you're not just the premier of the UCP, you're the premier of Alberta. And, you know, something that it has felt like as a mom, as a person, as a business owner, is that, you know, some of the decisions that have been made haven't been not just how they've been made and how they've been communicated, but that they haven't been made for, you know, necessarily for people outside of what some would say is, like, you know, a base constituency within the UCP membership. So, you know, I think the All Albertans piece is key to that, to the moving forward, you know, and growing and a vision for Alberta. So on that, on the kind of the legacy, I have a question. So, you know, if you're elected, will the current premier have a role in your government and party?
I mean, really, the current premier has indicated that he will be resigning. And so, I mean, obviously, in that sense, I think I'm grateful. First of all, I do want to say I'm grateful for the work that Premier Kenney did to unite the two parties alongside thousands and thousands of volunteers and, you know, committed conservatives right across this province. But that is what got me involved in this party and in politics. And so I am grateful for that. But, you know, he has indicated that he will, you know, no longer be serving and will step down after the next leader is chosen. And so I think that that is a decision that he made. And I respect that. I think we have a great team. We have a very talented team. And I want to make sure that our team sees opportunities and sees that we are headed into the future of this party, but also driving forward towards the next election as well.
So if successful and if you win, I mean, whoever wins is going to have a busy calendar for the next year, because we should be having an election, a provincial election next year. So, in the last provincial election, I mean, candidate recruitment is obviously a challenge. What would candidate recruitment look like under you, and who are you interested in having run for the UCP that maybe you haven't had before?
You know, I think one of the things that we continue to value is hard-fought nominations. And we see that in constituencies right across the province when it comes to the United Conservative Party. We always have. You know, I have always been an advocate for bringing more women and more young people into the conservative movement. But for me, we are a grassroots party. We need our members to have a say in who is their representative at the constituency level. I think it's important to respect that. You know, I want to see that people work for it, that the leader doesn't decide who runs, our membership decides who runs. And when I decided to run, I put my name forward. I challenged 4 men in the nomination and I won. It is doable. And so for anybody who might be nervous, you know, this is the elected podcast. Obviously, we're talking to a lot of women who care about politics. My approach has always been this. If any woman wants to run for this party and put their name forward, I have always got time to talk about how you not only run, but how you win and make sure that they earn those spots at the table, because we all need that help. I needed that help. I had been involved in politics, but I needed people to sit down and tell me, Rebecca, this is the formula. This is how you run. And really, there is no replacement for hard work. There isn't. It's actually not some secret formula. The formula is hard work and get out there and door knock and connect with people. And so that's essentially it. But for any woman who wants to run, and I've already been having conversations with women across this province that are excited about throwing their name in the hat, and not just in Calgary, right across the province, which is exciting. I want to encourage them to do that and to know that I will always be in their corner, but our party members make that decision.
Okay. You know, well, I mean, it's so interesting because traditionally on the conservative side of politics, you know, there is it's like you work to get where you want to be. I do think that kind of, you know, neglects to address some of the systemic barriers that women have to get into politics, you know, around, you know, qualifications and the number of times that women need to be asked, and financing, yeah. Finances and networking. I do think a large part of this, you know, a large part of it is what you talked about, is that conversation piece. And that asking piece. And it's good to hear that you're, you know, open to being accessible to women who are interested. And we definitely need more of that in Alberta.
Well, and just to also go a step further, one of the things that I have done is set up, you know, my own fundraising series, which is called Politics and Prosecco. And it was really because I saw a gap in our Conservative Party around bringing women together. So it has been a really great place, not only to fundraise, both for myself, but for other female candidates who are going to be running for us in the next election. And so we have been doing those across the province, saving those dollars so that we can help women run, because you're exactly right. Sometimes it can be harder for women to fundraise, and not because they're less good at it. I actually think women are so used to doing it, right? For, if they're on boards or if it's for their kids' school or whatever that might be.
We're really good at asking others for other people, but not necessarily ourselves.
You're exactly it. Or that's exactly right. That's exactly it. And so, you know, things like those events have really been great to not only get more women involved, bring them in, help them see themselves in our party, which does help with candidate recruitment. So a lot of the women who I've been talking to who want to run have come to some of those events in different areas across the province. And then they know, hey, there's somebody here that's going to help me with all of this. So that it makes it less scary, and takes out some of that stress or reduces some of those barriers that you're talking about.
Well, I, this isn't a question on my list, but, I paid special attention to your campaign launch video, in which you, I heard you specifically mention, you said women and men, when the tendency is always to say men and women. But then also you gave a shout out to, the Old Boys Club of, in Alberta politics. And, you know, in some ways, women generally in politics need to do, in my opinion, a better job, not of like being in the same, I'm not saying let's establish an old girls club of politics, but at being a better job, doing a better job of being active, allies and, you know, putting, you know, saying, oh, this person can do that, or this person can serve on that board, or this person, I know this person can do that. You should, you know, think about them. I was a fan of when you use that language in your video. So,
well, you know, and thank you. And I've been getting some good feedback on that from all sorts of people who essentially, it's not about a criticism of any one group of people. What that is really meaning is we need to make sure that it's not a small group of the same people making all of the same decisions, that my voice matters, and so does that of all of my colleagues, and so do the voices of Albertans. And so I want people to know that I will have that different, fresh perspective. And I do think it's unique. I think, you know, some people find it surprising, essentially in my tone and approach and just frankness and being super straight up on a lot of different issues. And so that for me was really about changing direction and making sure that we are listening to Albertans and that they know that they can see themselves in me.
Hmm. Yeah, that's a really good, that's a really good message to send out. So my last question to you is, how do people learn more about you and your campaign, and how do they get in touch if they have questions or feedback?
That is a great question. RebeccaForLeader.ca is our website. You can send us an email if you have questions about the campaign. Our policy will be launched in the coming days and weeks. So if you have any questions on that as we move forward, please reach out. Or even if you have ideas that you want to talk about or you want to hear my position on, don't hesitate to call or reach out. Also, to ensure that we have a good, strong candidate, and this is a plug for myself, winning in this leadership race, we need to do two things. One, memberships. We need to sign up new members or existing members, getting them excited about voting in this race, because only members have a say in this leadership race. It's $10. I tell people it's the best 10 bucks you're ever going to spend right now at a time like this, but you can do that at RebeccaForLeader.ca. And also dollars. As we talk about fundraising, you know, it's $150,000 to enter this race. And that obviously is, really going to be based on people in our community, people across the province. And so If you like what you hear, if you want to see a change in the type of leadership and that bold, fresh, new perspective, please consider making a donation as well.
And what if someone wanted to volunteer for the campaign?
Volunteers are the heart of any campaign. And so that is also on our website. And, okay. You know, people often wonder what does that mean? And I know you know what that means, Sarah, but it means that whatever you are interested in, there is a job for you, making phone calls, you know, helping with door knocking. But if you're not into door knocking, don't worry. There is a job for everyone.
Got it. Well, thank you. It's been kind of a rapid fire quick version of, I think, some questions that hopefully interest people and can help them make, if they have a UCP membership, make a more, you know, informed decision. And so thanks for your time and good luck on the campaign trail.
Well, thank you. And I just appreciated the opportunity to talk. I think our campaign shows what women can do and how much we have to contribute to politics and to our society. There are lots of women, professional women, stay-at-home moms, young, old. They want to see themselves and their values reflected in government and in this race. And I know that I can bring that to the table. So thank you for the opportunity to chat today.
Yeah, no, of course. All the best on the campaign trail to you and your campaign. And we'll see what happens.
Well, thank you so much, Sarah. Take care.
Thanks.